You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on with this billionaire? Mike Ryan has bought in on some Miami guy who's got a Ruiz last name, who's complicated. And
whoa, I am not having this tape come back to bite me. I haven't bought in on anything, yeah. But I am certainly excited that people want to help. And I think that anybody that is presently on Twitter claiming that they have earmarked $10 million to help fuel some NIL deals so that Miami Hurricanes football players could properly make money off of their names, I am down for it.
This guy has thrown everything against the wall till it sticks, until people start responding
to it. This guy is John Ruiz, who is, in terms of the public eye, he is very new to the scene.
A billionaire whose money may or may not be real, who is very interested in you knowing he has money and is looking to, you know, buy the Marlins, buy the Dolphins, put stadiums on top of stadiums.
None of this
and
is true.
Conquer all of South Florida.
But he's saying it. Certainly, you've heard of Nevin Shapiro. This is Nevin Piasso. And so a friend of mine, Izzy Havanick, his family owns formerly the Flagler Dog Track, now Magic City Casino. His grandpa, who's his namesake, Isidore Hecht, his name is on, of course, the athletic department at the university. His grandma, Florence, her name is on a residential college. His mother, Barbara Hecht Havanick, is a board of trustee at the University of Miami. I met him making a documentary called Magic City Hustle, now streaming at magiccityhustle.com, because what they wanted to do is, in addition to being very generous to the University of Miami and its athletic department, wanted to provide jobs and opportunities to former athletes. And they hired, when they got rid of dog racing, they hired highlight players, but not professionals. They are former University of Miami athletes, including Kenny Kelly, Tenard Davis.
You choose your topics carefully, even though you've had a couple, very few swings and misses on topics. And this one, when a filmmaker decides to dedicate himself to a story, it's because he believes in the weirdness of the story. And this one was uniquely weird.
This was like Cool Runnings in High Line in Miami. That's what this was. I mean, it was like absurd, but wonderful and charming. And I met Izzy, who's a graduate of the University of Miami. And Izzy, by way of introduction, why were you so desperate to get rid of dog racing and bring in High Line? Just so we know who you are.
First, let me say thanks for having me. First time, long time. And Mike, how's your uncle? I got to laugh. Great. I'm happy.
Who'd you get the laugh from? It was not me. I was just staring through your soul.
It was Whittingham, and I'm happy. But dog racing was a great sport in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and started tailing off in the late 80s. That was a part of Miami fabric and really a fabric of Florida. But
we tried to rescue High Line once upon a time in Dania. We should have tried to rescue Miami High Line.
But dog racing,
it was even a little
gross.
Dirtier. It was even a little more fun. All this entire scene, dog racing, High Line in Miami, is uniquely colorful.
But there was like tracks in Florida where trainers were giving dogs cocaine, giving greyhounds cocaine. This was not a clean sport, Izzy.
Well, that's up for interpretation. There was also the Moneyball movie, there could have been a reference to the dog track too, because there may not have been high school baseball players getting steroids from the same vets that some of the dogs might have been at the time.
But there was a stigma, right? Even when you were trying to date at UM.
There was a stigma. I was always the dog track guy. Yes, Billy, I know you love the story. Girls wouldn't go out with me because my parents ran the dog track.
But now you're a High Line casino guy.
It really wasn't because I'm a big asshole, but it was because of the dog track.
But speaking of big asshole, that's a good segue, because the moment that John Ruiz took to Twitter to promote himself as the savior of the University of Miami, at the same time that the university was bringing on Mario Cristobal, and there was big breaking news, and a lot of people working very hard to make important changes happen at the University of Miami football program and the athletic department in general, named for your grandfather, you immediately took to Twitter with what I will diplomatically call skepticism, but which was actually just shade bombs.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, because this is cartoonishly Miami. A guy wants to be in the booster big time sports game and has just announced, I have a lot of money and I want a lot of attention. It earns every skepticism throughout every shady Miami interaction that there's ever been transactionally, because this guy is a lot of bluster and he wants to be seen as having money.
And Izzy is a booster going back three generations. And his family named all over the campus. So when Izzy started hurling...
Thank you for all your good work, by the way. I appreciate it. Us Golden Canes got to stick together.
When Izzy started hurling these Twitter shade bombs, I took notice because this is like, you know, it's cane on cane violence. And he referred to Ruiz as a wacko, claiming he's building the new Orange Bowl and asking if he's on more drugs than everyone at 11 on a Saturday night combined. Referred to him as a snake oil salesman, a grifter, a family you've never heard of and has never contributed to the university. When you say, you asked if when you use the term booster, do you mean a person who gives money to the institution or a person who says they're going to give but never does? You referred to the stadium as fantasy, lies, delusions, fictional. And just a few days ago, you replied to John Ruiz's nephew, Mike Ruiz, who tweeted, "Best heel in the biz, can't buy this type of heat." And you replied, "Are you talking about your Uncle John?" So this is just a sampling of some of the countless tweets that you have hurled, lobbed like Molotov cocktails into the Twitterverse and into the Canesverse.
There's been a lot of negative press right now on this show in particular for John Ruiz, and I'll let Izzy say his piece. But I've never actually formally gone out with my opinion on John Ruiz and the Ruiz family. I do think he can serve a really great purpose, and I do think he wants to help the University of Miami. I also notice that he wants his family name out there, and he's enjoying the attention. And anytime, especially in this town, as Billy has so brilliantly pointed out through his films and his interview appearances here, you always got to kind of be skeptical of the overnight money and the overnight pseudo-celebrity. He keeps saying that he wants to help the University of Miami program out. There was a family donation made to the baseball program.
His ex-wife's donation.
Right. I'm not going to get into the reasons why that donation was made, but they're their personal reasons. But still, we're waiting on John Ruiz to actually truly step up to the plate the way that he is saying.
And it's not a donation, it's a pledge.
Yes.
It's like, you know, we can stop payment at any time.
Keep in mind, this is a prospective billionaire. He hasn't actually become a billionaire yet because...
But refers to himself as a billionaire.
Right. Well, he lives a very lavish lifestyle. He has donated, or at least pledged to donate, to Westminster Christian. He lives in a gorgeous...
$40 million home,
right? $40
million
home in Gables on the Sea.
And if you live in lavishly in Miami, it must be legit.
Here's what and Izzy could probably back this up. Look, boosters are already... getting involved. And I think the issue with the Ruiz family just right now is they're golden canes, right? But that's really the max on it. They haven't actually given to the program yet. Outside of this Frierson deal that was just announced this week, where they pledged to give Gilbert Frierson $50,000 through this NIL deal for this SPAC, knowing how the sausage gets made, and without saying too much, there are other boosters out there. And I know why Miami Hurricanes fans are excited about the Ruiz family, because you think you have your Phil Knight. Trust me. Out in these streets, the people flipping people with NIL deals right now, the reason why you're in the conversation, the Ruiz family hasn't been around for a lot of those talks. You're getting really good players, and you're getting NIL deals without the use of the Ruiz family. So don't think just because we start casting doubt on the Ruiz family that there aren't people out here helping.
Cody, why are you laughing? You're looking at Billy's face incredulously, even for a moment, defending Ruiz. Can we get to our guest, though? We're being rude
Real
to our guest.
Moving silent.
Oh, no, this is good. You have no idea. This is heaven for me, Dan. I listen to you guys every day, so I'm like part of the conversation.
He's like the guy that used to call Neil Rogers and get put on hold so he could hear the live feed.
But he's here for his expertise. Mike is being looked at strangely by Billy. Chris, what would you do to describe how Billy is looking at him? The incredulousness, like, he is losing respect by the syllable for Mike Ryan for saying anything nice about this Ruiz.
Just look dumbfounded.
No, listen, if anyone's going to help the school, it's great. So let me start with that. I, as a lifelong Camden fan who really doesn't even remember seeing the first loss at the Orange Bowl until I was a teenager, to someone who's, I think my first game was, it was UF in 1978. Anyone who's going to help the school is a wonderful thing. UF football in my family is one of those, you know, it's a sacred thing. We all go together. My mom still goes with all four of my siblings, our wives, all nine of her grandkids. We all sit together. So UM sports, really, for my family, has always been a constant. And it's the guys who come in at the last minute, who come in out of nowhere, who always get us in trouble. I'm not allowed to tweet about a lot of other things I'd like to. So because I don't have, and Billy's laughing because he knows some of the constraints I have. You know, if this guy's going to come in and give the $50 million, he said, this guy's going to build a stadium, great. Having been someone who tried to get UM a stadium closer, maybe at the exact site I'm sitting right now, I know it's never going to happen.
We always talk about how limited our property is. We have no affordable housing. Property prices are going through the roof. How many stadiums do we need? We have arenas that are only open for, you know, 40, 50, 60 days out of the year. A baseball park that's open for about 100 days out of the year. Hard Rock is open, I think, for total. And a normal year with events plus football is about 35, 36 days out of the year. Do we need a football stadium for 6 or 7 games a year? Do we need to pave more green space? Do we need to make more parking lots?
Okay, this is your agenda. And I understand it. And this is our business in sports. So if you want to build us a bunch of stadiums so that we can go ahead and get gambling in Florida and do all the things.
We have gambling in Florida.
More gambling in Florida.
Okay, right. I'm fine with that.
Your cynicism, I want to hear from the expert on the giving of actual money when he talks about Johnny Come Latelys. We always get in trouble with them. So go ahead. You've tried to give money the right way. Amateurism has collapsed right now on your watch, and phony money is all over the place. You experience this as this guy's going to get us in trouble. I don't know why you can't speak on certain things. What are you not allowed to say and why?
I knew I was going to get in trouble with you, but first let's go back to the 80s and 90s when they were trying to get rid of the program because of, and I'm not going to talk about a Pell Grant scandal, but all the other stuff that was going on in Sports Illustrated. There's urban legends of my grandmother going toe-to-toe with Tad Foote about getting rid of the football team.
So Tad Foote actually considered getting rid of the football team as per the famous, notorious Sports Illustrated cover?
There are rumors to the such, and there are rumors that a little silver-haired lady got in his face and said, "You're not touching my boys."
Is that Grandma Florence?
That would be my grandma, yeah, who was not afraid of anyone, and all 4'7" of her you didn't mess with. But no, the problem with Miami is, like you said, Dan, it's the local celebrity that comes in, drop helicopters over Miami, claims he has this guy actually did helicopter over Miami, so with a bag of money and just drops it, claims he's going to drop it, and everybody wants a handout. But those are the guys that always get this program in trouble. Those are the guys who get the basketball team in trouble. Those are the guys who get a football team in trouble. And you have the people who, while it hasn't always been successful, who always are here helping, who some are vilified, rightfully, some not. But I've taken to this guy because, first of all, he was buying a high school. He was buying Coral Gables High, moving Coral Gables High to the Biltmore Hotel, and then building a football stadium in...
Yeah, we're going to play in spaceships. Yes, it's all fantasy. We can't do any of it in South Florida.
Buy into this, and then you have the other guys out here who are actually helping, who deserve the credit. And I'm not saying I'm one of them, but there are plenty of people out here who are doing good for the school.
This is so Miami. This is so Miami. All of it is so Miami, Mike. And I would be, obviously, this is earned skepticism. It's not like we didn't see it with Scott Rothstein and Nevin Shapiro. The part that's confusing to me is, if there are no rules, how the fuck is Miami still breaking them? Like, how is that possible? It's the Wild West. How are we breaking rules in a lawless society?
Well, for there to be rules, you need an entity that can enforce those rules. And right now, the NCAA is relatively toothless because they chose to not be leaders on this, and now they're going to chase on it. However, there are some rules, and there have already been some missteps, and I think what's going on now, and why there are...
The missteps were by John Ruiz! He was the one who broke the no rules!
I know, Izzy. Well, I think what's happening here is there's some Nevin vibes, because Nevin kind of operated outside of the legacy Golden Kane type of booster thing, and he really enjoyed the light and the clout, and I think... If you truly want to help this university, the university needs to bring these people in and educate them, because there's very clearly, this is all very new to the Ruiz family, being people of influence and people who are at least positioning themselves to be boosters. I think they need to get educated on what the rules are, not just for the NCAA, but in the state of Florida, because it is totally different over here. And I do think that they need to operate in silence. Real G's move in silence. Real G's have, to your point, Izzy, have been moving in silence. There's a lot of people out here actively helping the University of Miami football program get better right now, and they're not making a show of it, because that's how you play the game. That's how you compete with Texas A&M. That's how you compete with Georgia. That's how you compete with Alabama, who have been doing this in silence largely.
And then you have the guys who make all the noise, and especially the ones who don't actually do anything. But that's what brings the spotlight back to UM, which, let's be honest, Miami operating in the spotlight is not the best place for it to be. If this guy or another guy or anybody else is out there talking, and you have the spotlight of the NCAA and all these other things back on the university in a gray area, let's call it, it's only going to blow up in our faces.
And for clarity, what's happened here is, and it seems to make sense now, the self-promotion, because it looks like he was setting up this NIL hustle thing that he went out with. Because I was trying to figure out, like, what's in it for them? Why raise their profile? Why get their name out there based on the science fiction fantasy of the stadium that's never going to happen and money he's never likely going to donate? And it turned out it was for some sort of name, image, likeness hustle. He was starting a company, right, to help kind of promote kids and to sign kids up and set them up or represent them or some sort of agency.
But you can't do that in the state of Florida.
Right, but then he posted tweets that he was doing that. And now, basically, I don't know, does the university have to self-report now an infraction to the NCAA?
Well, since what he's saying is going to happen hasn't actually happened yet, It's you haven't broken a law. You right. can talk
he said,
about
I'm going to rob the bank, but he right. hasn't robbed the bank
yet. What makes me a little uncomfortable is every time, because he threatened the NCAA, he's admitted this on his Twitter spaces prior to, like, years ago, he threatened to sue the NCAA, mm-hmm. and he doesn't like...
He did?
And he doesn't like the name, image, and likeness rules as it concerns high schoolers here in the state of Florida. So he gets told that what he's doing is not above board, and his response is, well, I'm just going to sue the FHSAA. The answer is always suing people. There's a lot of talk of action and a lot of threat of litigation and not enough moving in silence.
Well, to be fair, he's a lawyer. When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So, I mean, I don't begrudge him for using his expertise and his profession and his knowledge to effectuate positive change.
If he's a lawyer, he needs to know the law a little bit better.
He's a billionaire lawyer, no less, by the way. Billionaire lawyer, and I agree, he's a billionaire. I need to do air quotes.
Well, the idea that Mike every time describes him as a billionaire who doesn't actually have the money yet, who is now breaking the rules in a lawless society as all the rules change. Like, this is, if you're going to make the competition about who in America can do this better with dirty money, the U is back. Like, how we're going to do this.
We can't do this better. We can't do this better, because the second we start doing it the same way, the NCAA will come down on us. It's why we have to be quiet about this. You cannot give the NCAA, and particularly the SEC, because they'll just bully the NCAA, any sort of ammo. Because if you start making noise about it, it's a problem. Why I always push back on the Ruiz rhetoric that happens on this show is because I actually do think that they do want to help the university. They have two agendas. They can have more than one. They obviously want to elevate their name and make their family name mean something down here. I'm not necessarily with that, knowing how college football in particular works, but I do think there's a path here where they can be really beneficial to the University of Miami. They need education on this, Izzy.
I agree with you. And there should be a whole thing where you should take in people who want to be the NIL sponsors and teach them. You're out here pimping the school every day to every guest you guys have. And it's phenomenal.
What do you mean by they have never contributed to the university? Say they're going to give, but they never have given. John Ruiz has never contributed any money to the university. Is that what you're saying?
As far as I know, other than maybe his kids' tuition.
But this big donation, allegedly for what, the baseball locker room or something, this is not from him, right?
Well, I read a press release that it was all from his ex-wife. But listen, if you want to help the school, help the school. Do it. Keep your mouth shut. If not, don't get us in trouble. Don't get those of us who care and support
enough.
The school in trouble.
Okay, and there it is. The last lament of the University of Miami fan. Just please, just come on. If you're going to spill dirty money all over the money, all place that has blood on it, can you just do it in a way that doesn't get us all in trouble? Can you do it more quietly than Nevin Shapiro, covering up a lifelong insecurity about your size and not being able to be an athlete with a bunch of unearned money that ends up with you in jail?
He really wants to push the high school kids. Sue them first. Get the results that you need. And then give NIL deals. Don't be targeting publicly high schoolers right now, because you are just giving the NCAA teeth when they are toothless right now. Do not name names. Do not date dates.
He wants attention too much, though, Mike. He wants to be the guy who saves the program.
And if the NCAA can make an example out of any program, Miami rules all over again.
Well, how do we stop this guy? How do you stop this guy and get his help? Like, that's a deal with the devil, man.
I happen to know. Look, he was at Mario Cristobal's press conference. He is in contact with the school.
With his publicists saying he's available for interviews, when why the bleep would anyone want to interview him? But Mike, okay, but we need to do better than this.
He actually named a lot of professional team names that his family is interested in buying, and he didn't actually name the one that I think he's most interested in buying.
The Marlins?
They're not buying any professional sports team.
The Marlins need a bailout. Fake money will do.
I think,
but Dan can own a professional sports team.
Yeah.
First of all, highlight, guys. Listen, I ain't giving up on that, Dan. We'll talk about that later.
Izzy, thank you for your bona fides. Thank you for your boosting. Thank you for your maiden voyage along our show. Thank you for supporting our show. We'll talk about whether we'll buy a Miami highlight team off air.
Are you going?
You don't have to buy it. I'm going to give it to you, and then you can take your winnings and give it in an NIL deal.
Is this an NCAA violation we're committing right now, live?
Mike, let's figure out how to turn this into a rocket ship that pays the University of Miami's punter.
You going to the Tar Heels game on Tuesday?
If my wife lets me.
All right.
My answer is
Mike wants to power broke so badly. He wants to just meet with other Golden Canes.
We're going to do something about this.
I love a billionaire. You describe it as a billionaire who doesn't have any money. By the way, that describes every single one of us in this room right now.
100%.
You're all billionaires without the money. That's what we all are.
Izzy, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys very much.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Over the years, Billy, and this is the source of his greatest discontent with Greg Cody, because Billy and Greg Cody are genuine nemesis. I don't know how the plural of nemesis is, but Billy does not believe in public financing of any more stadiums in our broke-ass city. Greg Cody argues on behalf, not surprisingly, narcissism, selfish, that he just wants what's good for Greg Cody, which is more sports, more stadiums. Doesn't matter that it's a dumb way for Miami to spend money it needs. But Billy, you have been loud about real estate hustles and stadiums, and Whittingham now gets helped by what's happening, because in South Florida, we need the soccer team to succeed. We want it to succeed, and it needs a lot of help with land and free land to succeed. So what is the nature of this Melrose deal? No, this is
welfare for billionaires.
This is the
what
formula
is this welfare for billionaires
that sports franchises use, and it helps Whittingham and it helps Miami and
what
sports.
What is this spot that you're putting me in, Dan? You have me next to the activist Billy Corbin. I'm ready to argue the points, but soccer, you know, it's doing well in Fort Lauderdale. They're not going to stop until they try and find the stadium in South Florida. Billy would put it out in the middle of the Everglades if he could.
First of all, I'm not a realtor. It's not my job to find them. But apparently the mayor of Miami is the realtor. Any of us, if we need a house or a new office, what would we do? We'd go online. We start driving our neighborhoods we like, looking for signs. We call a realtor. When you're a billionaire in Miami, you call the mayor. You hire a commissioner's aunt. You hire the county mayor's son. Francis Suarez was proactively calling around, making inquiries for property. Here's the problem. It's not about soccer. Soccer is the shiny object in this sleight of hand. It's a real estate hustle like everything else in Miami. And it's not a conspiracy. You just follow the money and it's very straightforward. You have a mayor who is a real estate, who's basically effectively a real estate lawyer. His client list is secret because he claims attorney-client privilege. It is a minefield of conflicts. Jorge Mas is one of his clients. He is paid publicly with hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign and political committee contributions, as well as likely as his private attorney. If you watched the Miami Herald editorial board meeting years ago with Jorge Mas, who was sitting on the side of the table with Jorge Mas next to him in a suit and tie, taking notes in a legal pad? Francis Suarez. Question is, who's sitting on our side of the table as the taxpayers negotiating a deal? A contract is only as legitimate as the parties who are negotiating it and the willingness of said parties to enforce that contract. Do you trust the city of Miami, after the Marlins Park boondoggle, to effectively negotiate this deal and then enforce it? The one key takeaway, now that they have the essential deal points in place, and they're ready to bring it before Francis Suarez, not a representative of the people of Miami, but a representative of Inter Miami or Inter Fort Lauderdale, and Jorge Mas is ready to just, as always, bend over for Beckham. This is also his original sin, because this is a mayor who ran on affordable housing, a mayor who ran on sea level rise, public transit, improving quality of life, and instead said, you know what I need to do? All of the resources of our government, the limited resources, need to be focused on this finding this billionaire a piece of property for a 99-year, no-bid lease on the largest, single largest parcel of public property, of green space, of parkland, adjacent to the county airport. That needs to be the focus of everybody's time and attention. A key takeaway of this week's Miami Herald story. I couldn't even believe this quote. They kind of buried the lead, but they mentioned it twice because it's pretty important. The base rent, the minimum rent this team will pay, has not changed since the deal was first introduced in 2018. I repeat, the minimum rent has not changed since 2018. Anybody can think of what's happened to rent and property value in Miami in that interim?
For those who don't know, there is a giant boom of San Francisco, Miami, tech money, a whole bunch of money pouring into South Florida that is displacing people who cannot afford to live in places that don't cost that much from month to month because there are no Florida laws, just displacing them by raising the rent from one month to the other to another $1,400, $1,500. So people have to move because the real estate prices are going crazy.
Miami is the number one city in the country for raised rents, went over 38% just last year. In Hialeah, a group of residents were protesting because a Miami investment company bought their two-story condo and have raised rents up to 65%. These are 80-year-old women, hardworking people. This is what's happening in Miami, and we all have to stop and figure out how to get a billionaire a stadium. Here's the thing. This no-bid thing is pretty shady because you say, well, This is a great deal. How do we know it's a great deal? Everything is worth what somebody is willing to pay for it. And if you don't put it out for bid on the market, if you own property, would you sell it to the first schmuck who comes by and says, I'm going to do this with it? No, you'd say, well, let me see if there's any other offers. But they have prevented, they've blocked anyone else from participating.
But that was approved by my City of Miami voters. That was on referendum language and by more than 60%.
By 60% of whom?
City of Miami voters.
60% of the 5% of voters who showed up and got free swag from a truck. Horseshit.
It's not Inter Miami's job to force people to participate in democracy. Yep. Like, people voted, and the people who decided to vote voted in favor of it.
Did you read? There's a limited number of space and words and characters. It's like a tweet on a referendum item. In fact, when the Miami Heat's stadium boondoggle was on the ballot back in the 90s, it was a classic yes means no ballot.
That was the most confusing ballot I've ever read in the history of voting. The Miami
Heat won, right? Yes, purposely.
No meant yes.
And yes meant no. And it was brilliant. Brilliant. This is the thing. Billy keeps getting mad that business gets done to South Florida because our leaders are dumb and our democracy doesn't vote right. I don't blame him for getting constantly frustrated by it, but it's the grift.
Our leaders are not dumb. They are corrupt. They have warped priorities and perverse incentives.
But this isn't that, though. Like
This is worse than the Marlins Park deal.
Oh, stop it.
Worse than the Marlins Park deal. It is worse.
There's not a dollar of public money that's going into this. What are you talking about?
What do you mean there's not a dollar?
There's not a dollar.
It's a 99-year.
None of your taxes are going to this stadium.
It's our property. It's a 99-year no-bid lease at below market value for the largest park, the largest public-owned parcel of land in the entire city.
That golfers are using, Billy, the golfers are using right now.
I'm surprised that you're keeping up for golfers.
I don't give a shit about golf, and I don't give a shit about soccer.
Then why
don't
we put,
I give a shit about the taxpayers
okay,
who own
then
that property.
Why don't we put that land to work for people who can actually use
what
it?
What does that mean? Put it to work for who? For Jorge Mas? For a billionaire and give him welfare and tax?
There's a giant public park. There's a 58-acre public park that's going in there.
First of all, they've had a traffic impact study that they did in 2018 and refused to release. Do you know why? You know why? Because it's terrible. Second of all,
here's my traffic impact study. Driving up to Fort Lauderdale, I did a weekend getaway in Boca. If I would live in that resort that I stayed at, it would take me 10 minutes to get to that stadium. It presently takes me 90 minutes. This is Inter Miami, goddammit, and I want to see him in Miami.
For 17 home games, we need to build an entire stadium.
Yeah, it's, where would you put the stadium, Billy? Like,
it's not my problem.
I want
this idea that we all have
soccer.
To sit around and put our brains together and figure
but
out where this billionaire needs to put his stadium. How about not on public property?
And there was a vote, and people wanted
and
soccer.
And I'm sorry, we got distracted again. Just like they want us to talk about soccer. It has nothing to do with soccer. It's a shopping mall. It's hotels. It's condos. It's bullshit.
You want an Amazon warehouse there? So you can get pennies on it?
When you fly
in. So the people
in.
That live in City of Miami can maybe see the taxes from that? Or do you want another backdoor deal that's not up to public vote with some big tech company that's just going to take the land instead?
Put it out
for
bid.
And you're going to get screwed either way.
Put it out for bid.
The people actually voted on this one, Billy.
Put it out for bid.
And I'm sick of the bullshit where you don't like the results of the vote.
Put it out for bid. Put it out for bid. The reason why they're
exempt. They won't ever put it out for bid. Because the second you lament it just because there's a sports team and Amazon with their big swinging dick walks in, they won't put that to vote either. And they'll just fucking take it, Billy.
What are you talking about? You just made that up.
No, because that's how fucking deals get made in Miami. This is the one time that it's actually put up to public vote.
It's not the one time. We just mentioned the other time when it was put up for a public. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Things are put up for referendum all the time.
Look, the people that live in that district that voted, as according to the language, gave the city exclusive negotiating power directly to Inter Miami.
They did not give them negotiating power to negotiate a shitty deal where the rent didn't go up
subjective.
In 3 years.
That's subjective.
The rent. Did you hear what
You're
I said?
You're out here lamenting
hang on,
why everybody else can't.
Well, respond to the fact that the minimum rent that is in the deal today, in January of 2022, after a year in which rents went up over 38% in Miami.
Yeah, you know what happened?
The base rent, the minimum rent did not go up.
Inter Miami got screwed? Yeah, Inter Miami got screwed because this thing passed years ago.
Oh my God, the reason why it hasn't come up for a vote is because they needed to buy 4 votes on the commission. They were waiting for the election last November. What are you talking about?
That's a banana republic that we live in.
The reason why it took so long is because they need 4 out of 5 votes on the commission.
Exactly.
They only had 3.
Exactly.
They need to wait for an election so they can buy 4 votes.
Exactly. So you're defending a system in which people actually vote for something that they want, and then the commissioners...
I'm defending the charter of the city of Miami, of which this is a massive violation of...
Wait, you're cherry-picking what you want, Bill.
I'm not cherry-picking what I want. I went very clear. Put it out for bid. Do you know why they're exempted? Why there's a bid exemption on this? Because they're offering a unique opportunity. Not everybody can bring an MLS team or franchise to the table. And so there are exemptions that exist for special opportunities like that. It has to get a majority vote. It has to go up for referendum. But the charter does allow for it. The problem is you can allow them to give them the property to build the stadium. Give them the property to build the stadium, but put out the other parcels to bid. Jorge Mas has no experience building a hotel or offices or a tech hub. He's going to license those out and farm those out and make billions and billions of dollars, of which the taxpayers who own that property will not see a sufficient percentage of. And don't take my word for it. George Perez, Stephen Ross's real estate partner, one of the most successful real estate developers in the history of this town, in July of 2018, he wrote to the city commission from on vacation in Italy, referred to it as the Mel Reese giveaway. He says, I'm pro soccer and like the Moss family very much. But as George himself states, this is a $1 billion deal and city gets $3.5 million in rent. He called it total bullshit, a bad deal and a ripoff for taxpayers. And that was in 2018. And the rent is exactly the same as it is today.
We're also talking about it as if it's done. The commission needs to vote 4/5 in favor of it, and they have every right to negotiate on behalf of the citizens of Miami the terms that they want to negotiate. Otherwise, it's a no-go. This is a deal that was negotiated by the city attorney, by the mayor.
No, it wasn't. Okay, so that's not even true. First of all, it was negotiated in part by the mayor, who has come out and said, I think it's a really good deal, bro, which we know is a fucking...
Really great impression.
We know is a fucking lie, okay, because first of all, his lips were moving. A guy who single-handedly helped destroy... the opportunity for any Miamians to be able to afford to live in this city is giving them the same base rent that they had 4 years ago. And second of all, let me tell you how it was negotiated.
When they won an election,
when they
agreed a deal to get a referendum on a ballot,
you're pro moving the goalpost.
Let me get in here real quick because Chris Cody just shouted in my ear, loud noises. Sorry.
That was intense. I have no idea what they're talking about.
It was
just Billy Capes up for the little guy and how unfair their rent deal is,
wouldn't.
But it's okay to do that to the Moss family after an election actually dictated it?
Chris wouldn't know what we're talking about. He grew up reading his dad's columns. So
Your dad is...
God damn.
He's a sports, well, no, but sports this is, welfare queen.
This
he's a sports
is the welfare thing, though, queen. Billy, is this is why your dad is one of Billy's top nemeses. And Whittingham and Mike Ryan are now articulating better than your father ever could because of their emotional allegiance to this thing, the same selfish thing that Greg argues for. Well, this is good for me and my business, and I'm a one-issue voter
but it's
here.
Different, but it's so much different than the Marlins getting $600 million, or as Billy has correctly pointed out, prorated like $2.4 billion over 30 years.
This is the thing. I agree with you guys.
This is different than taxpayer dollars going into a stadium.
It's not. We're subsidizing.
Here's what I want to do. I want to believe in the utopian ideal that that Billy believes in that doesn't make him so filled with rage at how wrong and unfair all this feels, even though welcome to democracy, because it is a low vote that voted against Billy. But of course, Billy, what Billy is saying is right. None of us want to give him $1 billion of land.
Yes, see, they do. They do. No, Greg certainly does.
No, they voted for it. And he keeps bypassing that.
No,
he
wants I'm not this. Bypassing
no,
that.
No, you want
to
subsidize.
They voted for them to negotiate.
And they did. And you're not
they
happy
did not.
With results?
They did
so
not negotiate.
Freaking who?
They did not negotiate. The rent is the same today as it
I
was in 2018.
I cannot believe you're arguing for screwing them over and moving the goalposts on this. Considering
screwing who
I've
over?
Listened, they made a deal and won an election 4 years ago.
They didn't
they
make
didn't
a deal
see
and win an election.
A pandemic happening. All right?
Neither did the people who are renting apartments right now who are now being evicted for no reason.
But you fight for them every week, but the second that it's...
I should fight for welfare for a billionaire?
I'm not.
What are you talking about?
What are you fighting for right now, presently? A real estate deal in which you'd have no say in? A loss year over year in a golf course that they're subsidizing right now that no one gets to really enjoy outside of octogenarians?
We subsidize all kinds of amenities for government, parks and roads and all sorts of things.
Billy's
we
just defending the honor of golf courses?
Billy it's is so just easy. Arguing. No, Billy is just arguing. Forgive me. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but Billy's just arguing for get the best deal for the city.
Get the best deal for the city. And we don't know if it's the best deal for the city because no one has had an opportunity to put
it's
a bid
a
out on it.
A lot of land how that's often? Very, very, it's worth a lot. Don't give it away.
How often?
Put it up for bid in capitalism.
How
don't
often?
Sell it to commissioners. Don't sell it to teams. Put it up for bid so that the soccer team has to put up the best deal for the city in order to get what is a $1 billion parcel of land.
How often is the city negotiating with entities that don't ever make it to a ballot that you don't know the details of either way?
That has never happened on the largest piece of publicly owned property that the city has.
All right.
131 acres of green space. I understand it's a golf course. It also is considered a park and a green space. It also has to remain that way because of remediation having to do with the toxic landfill that they have there. It's also adjacent to an airport. The airport has already said you can't have a big stadium with giant friggin' lights over there because we have the single largest economic driver and engine of the heart of the county at Miami International Airport, and they would have to reroute planes. They would have to. There's all sorts of the traffic coming in and out of the airport. The airport actually doesn't want to compete with the shopping mall that Jorge Mas wants to build there. There's a lot of other things going on, and it's perfectly likely that the county will ultimately block this from ever happening.
Why don't you want me to be happy, man? What do I have to do? I just want to watch world-class soccer and not drive two hours to see it. Yeah. All right.
Well, if you want to watch world-class soccer, then you come to the wrong town.
Well, they're in Fort Lauderdale. It's kind of hard to launch a brand that's not even in the city.
Enter Fort Lauderdale. And wait, didn't they promise taxpayers they were going to build a park up there and it's now a parking lot?
What?
Fort Lauderdale. They promised Fort Lauderdale that they were going to build a park and it's currently a parking lot. They have yet to invest in the public park that they promised to build when they took over Lockhart.
Fort Lauderdale.
It's because Fort Lauderdale now.
Whittingham, you want the last word here? This was a brawl. This was festive.
Greg and Cody caught a stray bullet and all that.
This was first take.
Wasn't
this
a stray.
It was. He hates
nothing stray about it.
He hates soccer. That's what it is.
I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent to golf. I'm not advocating for one sport over another.
It's currently a space that is not used by the grand majority. Yes, it is the biggest parcel of public land, but it's not used by the grand majority of the citizens of
there
Miami.
There are parks everywhere that aren't used by the grand majority. There are amenities that a city offers. There's quality of life. Look at Brickell right now. No quality of life, flooding everywhere, no parks, no sidewalk. I mean, what are you saying? If they had,
what
if,
I'm saying is
if
that
there had been a master plan, a design, you'd have a community that people would be able to comfortably live in.
Look, the source of this, and we will talk more next week. There's plenty every week to talk about in Miami. But the source of this, ultimately, is Billy is emotional because he wants people, grifters, to stop ruining this place we love.
I was yelling about Marlins Park. Nobody listened. I was shouted down, and I was 100% right about that. Greg Cody wrote a column saying we have to give these billionaires a blank check. And guess what? 10 years to the day, he wrote the exact identical column, copied and pasted, almost verbatim, about Mel Reese. Okay. I put him side by side.
I know, because Cody is a boob and you shouldn't listen to him.
It's amazing. You're like Robin Hood, a champion for the people, but it's built on a common indecency. Like Robin Hood was still stealing.
A common indecency.
You're out here championing the people's wishes.
Jorge Mas is looking stealing.
Looking out for the David better Beckham of the city of Miami. And meanwhile, also thumbing your nose at what they voted for.
Oh, horseshit.
What they voted for.
This is not what they did not vote for a bad deal.
Look at my thumb. Mike I'm is doing giving the president fist.
He is
they
giving
voted
you
for this, yeah. And you don't like the result. Clinton and Mike Ryan
like
Ruiz approves that message.
Is this
and,
the Bill Clinton
this is why
thumb?
I'm running for mayor.
This is
he's running. He's definitely
like
running.
Mike, from fighting against Mike, the wishes need, of the great Mike. People of the city of Miami.
That's why he's not shaving his head. He's running.
It's your last move, Mike.
He's running.
I am honoring wishes of an adoring public.
You are going to run for office, and your signature move has to be that political thumb that you are pressing against your forefinger. That's Clinton, correct?
It yes. is.
Yeah.
It's Obama. It's all the great leaders.
It's everybody.
Clinton OG'd it, I think.
Yeah, it's a Clinton thing. Yeah. But I can't wrap my brain around like you fighting for people while like actively going against.
All I could see while you're doing that was I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
I haven't had sex with soccer. I was told I was going to have sex with soccer 10 years ago.
You can.
And now I'm having. Yeah,
17 days out of the year you can
slept to have sex with soccer.
17 days out of the year.
Like Gonzalo Higuain. This is not what I was sold. I was sold Messi and Ronaldo in Miami with like the skyline behind it. Not shoveling a Philly cheesesteak at the Flannies down by the indoor laser tag place.
Come in.
That is some Fort Lauderdale shit right there. That is some Broward business.
Rodolfo Pizarro and Gonzalo Higuain want to publicly kill each other every 45 minutes.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
No, I just loved, comedically, I don't think he could have found a lot of names funnier than Gonzalo Higuain.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.